I see everyone has got up bright and early. Wasn't counting on that. Figured there'd be no one here. So I guess I'll go ahead and present on this. So I'm Rusty Lynch. I work for Intel, and I'll be presenting on the basically a brief introduction into Tides and IVI, the kind of things that we want to do for IVI this year. So first, an overview of what I want to talk about. Since this is not an automotive conference, then I'm going to assume that quite a bit of the audience doesn't really know much about IVI or even what it is. So I'll talk a little bit about what IVI is. I'll also talk a little bit about the evolution of IVI systems and kind of where we think Tizen can fit inside that evolution. Go into basically how we run this project. How do we discover requirements? How do we decide what we're going to try to tackle for a given time frame? Talk a little bit about some typical use cases, the target audience for Tizen IVI. As was disclosed yesterday, there's a new 3.0 development model, and I'd like to talk a bit about how we'll be taking advantage of that 3.0 development model for everything we're doing over this next year. And about how you can come join us in making Tizen IVI a success. So this is the first talk of a series of IVI talks today. So I'd like to put in a little plug for all the interesting talks that will be going on today. So we have next on the list, we have Toyota. We'll be describing some of the technologies they've been working on and also donating to Tizen. We'll have some talks that go into some specifics about using Wayland on Tizen. Do a bit of a deep dive there. We'll also have some people talking about their experiences in trying to make an HMI that's built on top of Wayland. We'll also spend some time going over some of the specifics of how to do audio management and a fairly rich, complex input and output systems that you see in a car. And then finally, we have a talk about Tizen download and go for IVI. So what is IVI? So the first thing is what it stands for. And actually, I think I wrote the wrong thing. It's in-car infotainment, right? Or is it in-vehicle infotainment? I always forget exactly what the acronym stands for. But this on existing cars, this is typically that center console that you have where you see the navigation system, you see the radios, you see the thing that the UI for looking at your rear view camera, these types of systems. And on more advanced cars, on more high-end cars today, you also see multiple displays in the back, like each passenger has in the back seat will have their own display, or maybe there's one display shared to have a movie on for the kids. These are the kind of things that are in existing cars that are typically called IVI. One of the key characteristics is that you have access to all the interesting sensors in the car, and as cars evolve, you get more and more types of data, lots of interesting things you can do with it. But one of the characteristics of an IVI system is basically it's a bit isolated from the dirty bits of the car. So from an IVI system, if you don't realize it, on a modern car, pretty much they're all a bunch of computer systems. So when you apply brakes, even in a lot of cars, even accelerate, it's really signals to another computer system. But an IVI system is firewalled from that kind of access. So you tend to have read-only access to critical systems and don't have the ability to have an IVI system have a critical system crash and then result in a car accelerating out of control. And then the other key point or the key focus area of an IVI system is it's the focal point for all the different mobile devices in the car. The very common usage model in existing technologies is being able to pair your phone with a car so you can do hands-free dialing. That's been around for a while, and that's anybody buying a new car would just assume that's the case. But as I'll talk about, And when you think about where cars are evolving to, there's going to be a lot more interesting ways of integrating user experiences with all these different mobile devices and tablets and these different things that are carried inside the car. So I'd like to spend a little time just again talking about evolution of IVI, where it has existed in the past, what's happening now, and in the future. So in the past, IVI systems tended to be rigid-built proprietary solutions. They're very expensive to spec out, very expensive to deliver. So a car manufacturer give a very detailed specification of the entire computer system, and what they'll have delivered to them is something that does exactly that or mostly that. And there's almost no ability to change anything after it's delivered. So, you know, the idea is basically just like any other kind of component on the car, whether it be a fuel injector or a braking system. You deliver it into that model of car, and it's static, it never changes. Which, of course, is problematic in computer systems because every year we rapidly evolve how we use computers. So, you know, this is what's kind of problematic for the future. So it can't really keep up with the rapid pace of innovation that we as kind of high-tech computer users are expecting. And then you have the present. So especially if you're going to, today, if you go and spend money on the high-end cars, luxury cars, or the high-end vans with all the different screens, you'll see where vendors are starting. It's not very obvious from a user of the system, but once you start talking to the car manufacturers and finding out exactly what kind of software is running, you'll see that there's a bit of a hybrid approach where maybe it's running a Linux kernel and a couple other open components, but the rest of the stack is mostly still a fairly rigid proprietary stack that's more flexible than the old-time solutions. It's not a static real-time OS that's really difficult to change, but it's still not where they want to be. And then the future, where people want to be, basically comes down to when we start looking at the evolution of computers in general, operating systems have advanced enormously over the years. And when it comes to cars, what we need is for the car ecosystem to be able to innovate on actually the driver experience and not have to worry about all these basic fundamental operating system capabilities. And so what we want is to have a base that is a pure open base of all the basics so that a car manufacturer or anybody else that's some part of the car ecosystem can come in and focus on a specific technology that makes a much better driving experience, a much better passenger experience in the car, and not mess around with basic things like how do I update software, how do I ensure that the file system is consistent and doesn't get corrupted whenever it's living on a flash file system that needs to live for 7 years or 8 years or 10 years. So that's where we see the kind of the direction things are going. Now, in thinking about the future, the thing to keep in mind is that the future of these high-tech cars is now. As I mentioned already, you can see it when you get into the high-end models. Go to a dealership, have a seat in one of the high-end models, any car manufacturer, you look at their high-end models, and there's some pretty impressive technology available there. And what you'll see is that this technology is migrating down to the low-end cars. And that development for those other cars is starting today. There's long development cycles. So the kind of things you see is a rich set of interesting sensors, you know, like cameras that completely surround the car. So you can have applications where it's not just a rear-view camera, but perhaps, like, I forget which car I've seen this. I believe it's on a few different models, but they'll do things where they stitch together the camera views from all around the car so that you get this virtual view of the car where it looks like you're looking down on top. And then you can overlay information about, well, this, you know, you're moving backwards and the wheels are starting to turn, so it can project that you're going to hit the post that's just behind you in your blind spot. As mentioned before, you're going to see more and more displays, and not just little bitty, small, low-res displays, but proper, high-definition, beautiful displays all throughout the car. In the front seat, in a lot of cases, two displays. Sometimes it'll look like one display where the driver can see one view and the passenger sees another view so that you can meet certain regulatory needs. In the back seat, you'll see more and more cases where every single passenger has their own display dedicated to them. And so there's all kind of interesting kind of use cases and things you could do with that, with having those kind of that kind of capabilities. The speaker systems, you know, when you start looking at, you know, especially when I talk to people, Tizen people or mobile people, and trying to understand what middleware components won't work very well for IVI. The thing to understand with the input and output systems, you have these very rich speaker systems and microphone systems where you basically are getting to the point to where you can target individual users throughout the car. So maybe the driver of the car can be talking on the phone, and the people in the back seat, when they talk, it doesn't go over the phone, and maybe they can barely hear the conversation, and they can hear their music going on. So there's the subsystems have these capabilities, and now it's up to the rest of the ecosystem to take advantage of that and then come up with some really interesting use cases and interesting software. And then, as I mentioned before, you know, today, typically, everyone is bringing some kind of device into the car. At the very least, it's a phone. If you're in this audience, you probably have two phones. And maybe you've got a tablet or perhaps even a laptop. You know, when I think about this, the car is kind of turning into the focal point for all these mobile devices, you know. So, like the models that you'll see rolling out, you'll have access points, shared access points that you could take advantage of. There's lots of opportunities to basically have the car be almost like the mobile cloud for all these different devices. So the future is there. Now is the time to kind of get involved in enabling those kind of rich interactions and rich usage models. So, you know, how does Tizen fit into that? Well, when we kind of think about where do we focus our efforts on Tizen, what would a car manufacturer or other parts of the ecosystem, what would they realistically use? Then where it makes sense is to kind of focus on making Tizen IVI an innovation platform. So focusing on pulling in the technologies that already exist in other places, in other parts of the high-tech universe, and making it available in a way that's easily consumable in the car. For example, we've got all kinds of innovations in the server and the desktop. At the very least, you've got the kernel. I mean, that's, of course, we're going to be pulling in the kernel, but you have things like Systemd and Wayland that are technologies that are evolved for other reasons that we're pulling in and basically optimizing, adapting for IVI use cases. We have innovations from other verticals in Tizen. So there's lots of technology that was originally designed for the phone that you see in the mobile stack for IVI. For example, the application runtime, the web runtime. And you'll see where we'll be spending efforts to make sure that at the very least, runs very efficiently on IVI hardware. But also, we want to expand the API set so that you can have access to that rich set of sensors, all that data that's car-specific inside your web runtime. And then there's things like Genevi, which is pulling a large set of automotive industry members together and experimenting with some implementations that are quite interesting to us. Like, for example, there's this thing called an automotive DLT, which is a way of remotely gaining access to all the debug data so that you can go as a person who's maintaining that IVI system, you have a mechanism to go and figure out what happened when things go sideways for you to be able to debug cases and then be able to push a hotfix out. Then the other part that I think is a crucial part of what we need to do in Tizen to be successful is to enable a community of developers around Tizen. And this community of developers needs to range all the way from the big companies with big development houses all the way down to individual enthusiasts. So we need to get, we have all the servers in place. We have Git, we've got Garrett, we've got a database. We have everything in place. And we need to tie this together to have a thriving system of community users. So I was going to talk a little bit about how do we pull in requirements? How do we decide what we're going to do? So we pull in, fundamentally we're pulling in requirements from three areas. So one of the areas is something fairly new over this, and that's the Automotive Grade Linux Working Group. So this is a Linux Foundation group that part of their charter is to pull industry members together to, you know, to highlight the areas that need help on a typical Linux system to make it suitable for in-car use. They'll be gathering specifications for us, and we'll be pulling from there to help us decide what it is we need to focus on. Another area would be Genevi. So Genevi, I don't actually know how many people are part of Genevi, but it's huge. It's a huge industry forum. People contributing from the full spectrum of from automotive industry. And as part of that, they're putting together specifications, debating specifications, and also dabbling in various implementations. And so as those specifications gain traction, then we'll be monitoring them from Tizen IVI, and then when it makes sense, trying to pull an implementation that meets that requirement. And then, of course, we have input from members like you. So you'll see just today, you'll see people from a couple of different automotive makers talking about the kind of things that they're doing in relation to IVI. And so we depend heavily on these members to come in and help us understand what's limiting them from just doing a full Linux stack on the cars that are going in production today. And there's a lot to it. There's a lot of missing features. There's a lot of gaps. So there's lots of opportunity to come in and innovate and basically help make this successful. So talking a little bit about target users. So we've got a few different types of target users. I'm going to highlight three. Where this first slide is just covering one of them. So one of the key target users is, of course, the platform providers and, you know, or the car manufacturers. And so when Tizen IVI is truly successful, a key characteristic would be that an automotive manufacturer, a platform provider, should be able to come in and do the kind of things that they need to do anyways, which is a common activity that I've talked to a lot of people about, is a manufacturer may have a research and development group that needs to come in and has an idea about a particular technology that they want to prove out. They want to create a proof of concept. They want to showcase it, and then depending on the results of that proof of concept, the executives may decide to go ahead and jump on that technology for the next car platform. And so when we're successful, Tizen IVI will be the obvious choice for the platform to take to proof of concept on. You'll have a large community of people that will be creating other interesting technologies on the side for you to pull into your POC. And when you have successfully created that proof of concept and you have sold the executives on this needs to be in the next car platform, you're going to find a community of vendors that are part of Tizen to help you take that experiment and turn it into an actual product. Another example of target users would be small software shops. And I know I've talked to many little small companies about how you could really take advantage of this. And you have companies, small shops that are not necessarily part of the automotive industry that want to extend their horizons but can't afford to go have half their development team spend 2 years on something that may or may not pan out. So I encourage them to come to Tizen, do an innovation project, you know, something that's like a 5% time of their engineers. We'll provide a space for them to publish that on Tizen. And if it's a cool technology, those car manufacturers that are putting together proof of concepts, they'll see it. They'll dabble with it. At the very least, you will have proven to the world that you have the capability of doing something special. And basically, opportunities will open. The other target user is what I call the car hacking enthusiast. So I hate when I work on a project and people tell me, well, you're not the target user. So the fact that you find the user something about the experience horrible, it doesn't matter. You're not the target user. Well, for Tizen IBI, I consider myself enthusiasts also, and I consider myself part of the target audience. So for those of us that grew up hot rodding cars, this is basically hot rodding of the future. I can no longer properly hot rod my new Dodge Challenger because the actual car computer is locked down, and if I try to do anything with the car computer, my warranty goes out and $60,000 down the drain. But where I want to be able to do is come in and be able to swap out the IVI system, put Tizen IVI on there. Let me innovate. I can do a much better job than what was in that car. Yeah. So come in, trick out my car, personalize it, specialize it, innovate on it. Yesterday there were some talks that talked about Tizen IVI or the 3.0 development starting. And so I'm here today to say that for IVI, we are immediately moving to 3.0 development as of now. So if you're familiar with the Tizen development, you can go and you can look at the Git trees, and anything that's under the platform directory is by definition trees that show up that are targeted for 3.0. And then, of course, there are the trees that are under Profile IVI. Now, as was described yesterday, the development for Tizen has shifted a bit. Over this last year, if you followed IVI, you'll know that we actually wouldn't contribute directly into IVI. Instead, we would not contribute directly into Tizen. Instead, we would wait until there would be a Tizen release, like the Tizen 2 Alpha release, the Tizen 2.0 release, Tizen 2.1 release. And then we'll branch it, and we'll make all of our modifications to basically forks of each one of the trees in Profile IVI. So what you'll see for 3.0 is that all those trees that are in Profile IVI, their forks of the 2.0 trees, will not be used. And any time that we have an innovation, a bug fix of something that's a core component, then we'll work directly with mobile and get those changes directly into the trees that are under the platform directory. And the only trees under Profile IVI that will be used for 3.0 are the things that truly are IVI specific, that are of no use to another vertical. Images are being generated today every time a change set goes through. Development is just starting, so there's going to be a lot of changes there. It will be the names of the images, this kind of thing. But if you want to come in and help us do platform development, you can go to downloadtizen.org, snapshots Tizen. You can see what's there. You can join the mailing list. You can join the discussion and help us kind of get this moving along. One of the things that we're actually, and as was discussed yesterday, all changes will be going through Garrett. So you can, all you have to do is get an account on Tizen.org. And if you have a contribution, just follow the process to submit your changes on Garrett. Also, feel free to become reviewers on Garrett just as a developer. You can monitor the patches going into any tree, and you can give your plus one, plus two for basically signifying whether you agree that the patch is doing the right thing, Or if you see it, us adding something that doesn't make sense, you can give a minus one in a comment describing how this is really not the right way of doing things. So basically, come help us make this a reality. So what are we focusing on this year? First and foremost, we're going to be focusing on kind of getting the fundamentals done correctly. So you're going to see a lot of work in getting a sane, consistent, optimized boots. This is where we're using systemd. And just using systemd is not a silver bullet. You have to kind of integrate it into all your different services to have each service be able to correctly identify its dependencies and signal to the rest of the system when it's at a different step in its startup sequence so that we can finally have a boot process where if any individual service goes haywire, then you know exactly how to recover, and we can automatically recover from it. You'll also see lots of work in getting an optimized graphic stack, including work going on with Wayland. We've already had a lot of work going on with automotive access, or data to the automotive access, all the different sensors, the cameras, and so you'll see a lot more work in that area. Access to more sensors, dealing with latency and other issues for access to these sensors and access to the cameras. And then, of course, we have to have some way of, even though we're not focusing on applications and we're not focusing on HMI, because these are the things that basically each automotive maker will come in and replace, we have to have some kind of applications to verify that the middleware is working. And so we'll be focusing in on ensuring that it's possible to create those apps with our web runtime. So optimizations in web runtime and extending it so that you can access all the neat capabilities that are unique to a car. The other area is there's going to be a lot of work going on around the automotive user experience management. So in the next talk, we're going to go into great detail about how to do these dynamic control of the user experience based on driving conditions, how to deal with driver safety management. There's a lot of regulations that change from region to region that you have to have a way to ensure are met, or else you're going to spend all your time in courts and lose all your money in court cases. And then other things that, as a consumer, you just take for granted but just don't exist in existing Linux systems, like what we call last user mode support. For example, I'm in my car. I'm listening to a particular radio station. I stop somewhere, so I turn off the car. When I turn it back on, I expect to rapidly get to that radio station playing. I shouldn't have to go and search through the radio and start the radio application and tune to that radio station. Or another, maybe even better example is, I'm going skiing and I create a route to get to the ski resort. I have to stop and get gas, which means I turn off the car, and by definition, I completely turn off the computer system. It doesn't hibernate, it gets turned off. When I turn the car back on, I expect that I should not have to re-enter my route information or all that. The application, as far as the user is concerned, it should appear that the application was running the whole time. So there's some infrastructure support to add to make that possible. That's being solved in today's cars with proprietary solutions, but this is an example of something that's really a core OS capability. You shouldn't have to go spend huge amounts of money for a rigid proprietary licensed solution to do something that's just a fundamental operating system capability. So talk a little bit about contributing to existing projects. So we have a bug database. There's bugs.tizen.org, and in there you'll see there's an IVI project. So as you see issues, please file bugs, or as you have ideas on feature requests, requirements, file those in JIRA, and then we'll respond to them. And also join the mailing list where we'll be kind of debating and discussing some of the details of these requests. As I mentioned before, you've got all the source that's in Garrett, in the platform, in the profile IVI directories. There's other talks going on today that go into much more detail for exactly how do you do platform development on Tizen. But basically, it's use those tools. When you identify a package that you would like to make some contributions to, you can use things like look at the RPM info to There's a VCS tag that will tell you exactly the git tree. On 3.0, by definition, it'll be on the Tizen branch. Make your contributions, use Garrett to submit to the 4 Tizen branch, and help us make IVI better. Another thing I wanted to touch on just very briefly is one of the things that we want to do this year is we want to enable an area to allow people to upload new innovation projects. So there are projects that are proper parts of Tizen IVI that have a certain level of expectation of quality and have people that are standing behind it for fixing bugs and for filing bugs and doing regular testing. But there's been a large demand from all over to be able for people to be able to have their project hosted on Tizen.org and allow them to totally maintain it, whether including having filing their own bugs, responding to their own bugs, testing it. So we'll be coming out in the next few weeks with more details on how this will be enabled, but we really want, especially when I mention things like the small software shops that have these neat innovation projects, we really want them to be hosted on Tizen to allow other people to see it, experiment with it, add to it. And in the cases where those little innovation projects end up being something really interesting, we'd like to pull it into proper Tizen IVI. So talk a little bit about some of the gaps that we know exist, in which case, I'd like to say, patches will be accepted. So some of the areas that are known gaps that we're not sure if we'll be able to get to this year, but they really got to be filled. One of them, probably the best example, is over-the-air updates. So when you talk to car manufacturers about what's really limiting them from doing innovation, something as simple as updating software, which for, you know, working in other parts of the other industries, that's a pretty basic thing. But to have people go into the shop where they basically plug in a computer system to a USB key and basically wipe out the operating system and, you know, reinstall, that is a hugely expensive operation, and it leaves people with a very bad taste in your mouth. You go and spend $100,000 on a luxury car and then have to drive to the shop for them to do something to it. It makes it kind of hard to have that next discussion about how maybe they should spend $120,000 on the next model that just came out. And we have all the core capabilities already in place. So we've got things like RPM, Zipper. We've got ButterFS where we can do snapshots so that everything's in place so that you should be able to come up with a solution that is basically a way to grab an update, install the update, verify the update's good, and then roll back if it's bad. But there's a lot of details in there. So there's, in creating a client and stitching it all together, that's a lot of work that we could, where I'm really hoping that someone else can come help us make a reality. Other things, as I mentioned before, there's lots of opportunities for having a tight integration with mobile devices. Here, you know, there's some interesting technologies like MirrorLink, SDL, people are talking about, but exactly what does it take to integrate these in IVI? I think there's a lot of details there that will take some work, and this is where we could really use some help in figuring out how that might work. Other things are, you know, there's been a lot of demand for doing things like being able to use Yocto as a build system for building Tizen. You know, and so from my perspective, all that really matters is the content. The actual build system, OBS or whatever the build system is, it really doesn't matter. So there's been a lot of people talking about theoretically how you could basically have this translation of metadata from our build system to other types of build systems like Yocto. Totally doable, but it's going to take some engineering effort. And then, of course, there's things like we have core capabilities with speech recognition and text-to-speech, but there's lots of gaps in the core OS that you'll find if you go and try to put together a full actual product. And there's another area that I think is something that actual Tizen should provide. It should be part of that core OS. But there's a lot of work there. So I'd like to just end with a call to action. So basically, help us out by feeding us requirements. Help us understand what is missing in this core operating system to make that core product today. Help us fill in some of these gaps. Step in. If you happen to have a lot of experience with things like live update in other areas and other industries, come in and help us kind of fill in the gaps so that live update is no longer this thing that has to be solved with proprietary software. File bugs when you see them, and ideally submit a patch to fix those bugs. And then use Tizen IVI for your innovations. Innovate on top of it and showcase those innovations. So with that, I lead to questions. Go ahead. So we have a microphone, to come to the microphone.
So this isn't a question, but more just to let you know that if any of you are in Northern California, we do have a meetup group called Silicon Valley Automotive Open Source. It meets mostly in the South Bay here. It has over 700 members now, where we discuss these issues at length.
So how often do you meet and when do you meet?
We meet monthly. And they typically have great speakers. I mean, it can be anybody from like the Stanford group that's working on autonomous vehicles, or Google and connected, or IVI Genevi guys on connected car, anything and everything, basically.
Thank you.
So come see me for a card or for more information. But basically, if you go to meetup.com and look for Silicon Valley Automotive Open Source, that's the only one that comes up.
Very cool. Sure.
For a small company that is planning to work on a product based on IVI, do you suggest that we build on top of 2.1 or 3.0 as it is right now?
Well, it's all going to matter with your timelines, right? So ideally it'd have people building off of 3.0, but of course we're just starting. So, if you're going to product with something right now, then 3.0 is not going to be ready for you, but... this is where we're going to be really investing in. So I just hope that your timelines work at 3.0.
Do you have a timeline for 3.0?
Well, we're really hoping to have the stack in good enough shape so that by the end of the year it would be a viable stack to be the beginning of a development process.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other questions? If not, then thank you very much, and I encourage you to listen to some of the other IVI talks, especially the next one. There's going to be a lot of details, and it's quite interesting. Thank you.